Well done, boys and girls. Well done, everybody, with those actions. I've got a quiz for us, and it's going to come up on the screen. This quiz is about news stories. Are they real or are they fake? Now, every one of these was a genuine news story. It appeared in a newspaper or online or on your television screens. But some of those news stories were real and some of them were fake. And here's what you've got to do. If you think this news story was real, then I want you to stand up. And if you think this news story was fake, then I want you to stay sitting down, okay? So if you think it's real, stand up. If you think it's fake, sit down. This is not just for the kids, this is for everyone as well. So here's our first news story. NASA is installing internet on the moon. Real or fake? What do we think? Let's reveal the answer up on the screen. It is real news. NASA is indeed installing internet to help control some of their lunar robots. Let's go on to the next story. We'll put it on the screen. This story is that a university in America has banned the use of capital letters for fear of scaring students. Is this story real or is it fake? Let's reveal the answer. It sounds like it could be real. It sounds like it could be real, but a university did release some guidelines, but they exaggerated it completely. It's not a true story. Third one we'll put up on the screen. Here's the headline. German street covered in chocolate after leak from chocolate factory. Real or fake? Reveal the answer. Yeah. What a great news story. This delicious accident really did happen. There was a chocolate factory in Vestonen, and a ton of chocolate leaked from the factory, and it flooded the pavement. Amazing. Beautiful. And one more story. Let's put it up there. This news title was, a gorilla has been taught how to knit. Real or fake? Ooh. Let's reveal the answer. Was it real or was it fake? Again, it was a genuine news article, but it was an absolute fake. They're very clever, but they're not that clever. We must always think twice before we trust the images we see online. Now, sometimes it can be hard. Here's the point. Sometimes it can be hard to know what stories are real, what stories are fake. In that quiz, a lot of you weren't necessarily that confident whether the story was real or whether it was not true. Could we trust what we were hearing? And some of us might feel a similar way when we hear the news that Jesus is alive, lacking confidence. I'm just not sure. Is this story real? And I know that a lot of us wish we had more confidence that Jesus is alive. You might say, if I was more confident, then I would finally commit to becoming a Christian. You might say, if I was more confident, I would be joyful, even given the difficult trials that I'm facing. Or you might say, if I was more confident, I would serve God wholeheartedly rather than focusing on myself. And the Bible passage that we're going to be looking at today, Luke 24, is here to give us certainty, confidence that Jesus really is alive. There are going to be two short talks in the rest of this service looking at two pieces of evidence. But first, we're going to hear those verses read. We're going to hear the words of God as Edwin comes and reads the scriptures to us. Edwin, thank you very much.
This morning's reading is from Luke chapter 24, verses 1 to 12. This can be found on page 1061 in our Bibles. Luke 24, verses 1 to 12, page 1061. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered the tomb, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in the Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of the sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered this, his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves. And he went away, wondering to himself what had happened.
Thanks, Edwin. Now, boys and girls, you haven't seen one of these today, have you? No? Yeah, well, really? I mean, you haven't eaten one of these today, have you?
No.
Who's eaten Easter egg today? Adults as well, who's eaten Easter egg today? Oh, very restrained. Can anyone tell me what sort of Easter egg you had?
Me. Crunchy,
delicious. Anyone else? Nice, that's good. You've got one as well? Excellent. What one have you got? A dinosaur egg. That's so cool. Let's have a look at this one, because I want to show you something about this Easter egg, and all Easter eggs, I think, if I can get it out. Let's open it. Here's the thing about Easter eggs. They are empty. Easter eggs are empty. They are hollow. There is nothing inside them. Now, whenever you see an Easter egg today, or when you're finishing them off throughout the week, or in future years to come, this is what I want you to remember. Just like the egg is empty, Jesus' tomb was empty. Nothing in the egg, nothing in the tomb. The egg is hollow, Jesus' tomb was hollow too. Jesus' friends all went to that tomb expecting to find a body, but there was nothing inside. That is an amazing thing that I want you to remember every time you see an Easter egg. And boys and girls, if it helps you to concentrate in this next bit, you've got a sheet, and we might need some spares if there are any at the back, just in case people need a second sheet. What I'd like you to draw on the back of the sheet is an empty egg and an empty tomb. Brilliant. Draw that while you listen to this next bit. So, we've just heard the reading, and the first people who needed convincing that Jesus is alive were his followers. Some people assume today that people in the past were just naive and gullible. They probably thought that resurrections and miracles happened every other Tuesday. But that sort of view reveals our foolishness, not theirs. They were real people just like us who expected dead people to stay dead. So Luke 24 starts like this. Verse 1, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. Jesus' most loyal followers couldn't wait any longer. These women had been with Jesus from the beginning. They'd heard his teaching, they'd experienced his power to heal. They traveled alongside him all the way since Galilee. Some of them had even used their wealth to support his mission. And they were there with Jesus right at the end as he died. They were watching as a distance. They saw the darkness. They heard his cries. They looked on as his body was laid in the tomb. And now they have one final act of love to perform. They carefully prepared spices to anoint Jesus' body. And when Sunday arrived, they woke up just at the crack of dawn. And you can imagine it, the sky is barely starting to lighten as they make their way to that cold rock tomb. And notice this. These are Jesus' most loyal followers, and they are expecting a body. Clearly, they are expecting a body. They are not coming out on Sunday morning all excited, carrying party poppers and banners saying, "Welcome back, Jesus." They are naturally assuming that dead people stay dead. And it was the same for Jesus' other followers. They weren't gathered together getting the surprise party ready. They were in hiding, afraid. And even when they first heard the news, they thought it was nonsense. They were all going to take some convincing. But then the women found the first piece of evidence. Verses 2 and 3. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. That's it. We'll come to the next bit in a bit. Just like our Easter eggs, boys and girls, the tomb was empty. These loyal women, they stand back in amazement. Their mouths hang open. What could this mean? Where's the body? Possible explanations might have flown through their minds quickly. They wonder, what if this is the wrong tomb? Well, no, that doesn't make sense. We were here in this very spot 2 days ago when Jesus' body was put exactly here. Or they might wonder, did the disciples steal the body without telling us? No, that doesn't make sense. Last we heard, the disciples were a bunch of frightened kittens. They'd run away scared when the soldiers arrested Jesus. Peter had been too afraid of just a lowly servant girl to admit that he even knew Jesus. Was it very likely that these disciples would suddenly turn into soldier-defeating, grave-robbing heroes? Not at all. Or they wonder, what if Jesus didn't really die? No, that definitely doesn't make sense. These women were there at the cross. They saw Jesus die. They saw the spear thrust into his side. None of those possible explanations for the empty tomb made sense. But then, suddenly, they weren't alone anymore. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." Angels with shining clothes came with the answer to the riddle of the empty tomb. I'll put what they said in my own words, just to summarize. "What's the point of looking for a living person in a tomb? It's like looking for a hippo in Waitrose. You're looking in the wrong place." And these faithful women were convinced by the only explanation that made sense. He is not here. He has risen. And this is such a helpful reminder to us if our confidence in Jesus is ever shaken. Sometimes our feelings are going to be all over the place. We might go through a tough time and it won't feel like God is real. We might forget to read our Bibles during a particularly busy time and suddenly the joy isn't there anymore. And in such times, I am so, so glad that our faith is based not on feelings, but on facts. If everything else falls away, this one fact remains: the tomb was empty. If there was any other explanation, do you think these women would have been convinced? If there was any other explanation, do you think those cowardly kitten disciples would have turned into powerful evangelists willing to die for their faith? If there was any other explanation, why would half the Roman Empire have become Christians by the year 350? If there was any other explanation, why would billions of people name Christ as King today? Be confident because of the empty tomb. Christ is risen. The title of our second talk is "Be Confident Because of the Eternal Plan." Now, boys and girls, I've given you a bit of a clue already, but what might we start seeing on trees at this time of year? Blossom. Very good. It's very beautiful, and it's a reminder of new life arriving. Now, who would like some blossom? Up you come. Everybody, all the kids, come up on stage. Anyone who's with their parents as well, you can come up, grab a pinch of blossom and hold it in your hands. There's some more over here as well. Grab a pinch of blossom and then stay standing on the stage. Great, thank you. Grab a bit. Hold your hands out. Good. Hold your hands out. Anyone not got some? You can have a bit more. Anyone not got some over there? You got it? Great. Anybody still waiting? You got some? Very good. All good. Have a bit more. You can have quite a few pieces. Go on, Grace. Here you go. You can have a bit more. Well done. Now, what happens, you might know that when the wind blows, the pieces of blossom get scattered everywhere. So after three, what we're going to do is we're all going to throw our blossom as high as we can up into the sky. Ready? One, two, three. And has anybody noticed that there are some words on the blossom? Yeah. What does it say?
Just as he said.
Just as he said. Isn't that interesting? Now, boys and girls, go and sit down. Well done. Let's give them a round of applause. Just as he said, like those beautiful petals across our gardens, scattered throughout Jesus' life were promises. Again and again, Jesus said that he would die and come back to life again. He said it would happen, and it did. More than that, like those beautiful blossom petals across our garden, scattered throughout the whole Bible are more promises. Again and again, God said that Jesus would suffer, die, come back again, and rule over the whole world. He said it would happen, and it did. So, boys and girls, every time you see pretty blossom petals scattered across your garden or scattered across the street, I want you to remember those promises scattered throughout the Bible, those words that Jesus said throughout his life. Just as he said, just as he said, just as he said. He said it would happen, and it did. Now, as you listen to this next bit, either you can make notes on the one side, or I want you to add to your picture and draw some blossoms scattered across the empty tomb. You might want to add some trees, you might want to add some words, just as he said, would be a good idea. I'll leave it up to your imagination, whatever helps you concentrate as you listen to this next bit. Everybody, I'd like you to imagine the scene. A man stands before the jury accused of robbing Barclays Bank in Sutton. The eyewitness testimony has been heard, weighed and cross-examined, and now there's one final piece of evidence. The police have searched this man's home and they found a laptop. And so in front of the whole jury and everyone gathered in this court, they open the laptop and click on a file marked The Plan. And in that folder, there is file after file of building schematics, choices of getaway vehicle, supplier of safe-cracking machinery, and all sorts. For months and months, this man has been planning a heist on the very bank he is accused of robbing. He had planned it all along. And on top of everything else, this evidence is completely compelling, and the jury are completely agreed. They're convinced he did it. And this was the second piece of evidence that convinced the women at the tomb as well. Remember, they're in that empty tomb with the angels, and the angels have just said, he is not here, he has risen. And in case those women aren't yet convinced, the angels then say, remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. These angels are reminding them that Jesus had been planning this all along. And as those women think back over all the things they've heard over the past 3 years, yes, there were those strange sayings that they didn't quite understand at the time. In Luke's gospel alone, there are 3 times where Jesus speaks of his death or resurrection. He'd been planning it for years, and everything happened just as he said it would. The women remembered the words he'd said, and they were convinced. But you know, this is a really amazing thing, because those 3 sayings were just part of the evidence trail. If you look at verse 7, you'll notice that Jesus' words there were, the Son of Man must be delivered, crucified, raised. Why must he? Not because people forced him against his will. He must be delivered, crucified, raised, because this was part of the plan all along. This was part of God's eternal plan. It always was. The evidence is scattered like blossom throughout the Bible. I could turn to any number of pages, but I'll just put one prophecy up on the screen here. Thanks, Paul. This is from Isaiah 53, verses 9 to 11. It's written 700 years before these events took place. You can read through it. There's another bit on the next slide as well. This prophecy speaks of a man who will die among criminals, but be buried in a rich man's tomb. He will be innocent, but suffer for the sins of others. He will die, but come back to life again. 700 years before it happened, he said he would do it, then he did it. Be confident because of the eternal plan. Like the man accused of robbing Barclays Bank, God had clearly been planning to do this for a very long time. But hear this. The Trinity God, Father, Son, and Spirit planned not a bank robbery, but a heist on hell. A divine Italian job to blow the doors off death. All of us are held prisoner behind the locked doors of sin and death. We feel this in our fears, our frustrations, our failures. We see it in the crumbling world around us. We will experience its full reality forever if we don't find forgiveness for our sin. But the plan from the beginning was for Jesus to break those deathly doors open wide. He died on the cross to take the punishment that our sins deserve. He rose from the tomb so that we can follow him out of our graves as well. Those who reject him will be trapped forever in death. Those who trust him will enjoy life forever. Jesus is alive. The empty tomb and the eternal plan are all the evidence we need. Confident of this, you can finally commit to becoming a Christian, because that same resurrection power is at work today. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." Confident that Jesus is alive, you can live joyfully, even through the difficult times that you are facing. Because I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. And confident that Jesus is alive, you can serve God wholeheartedly, because with eternal life ahead of you, your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that Jesus is alive. Thank you that resurrection power is at work today. Thank you that if we believe in Jesus, we too will have eternal life. And I pray that every one of these boys and girls here, every one of us adults as well, would put our trust in Jesus and know that life that conquers death. In Jesus' name, amen.